You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It contains no injurious chemicals, and it's a boon to the busy housewife. Put it in the washing up water, and you'll wonder where the plates went.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud. It's new, it's heartwarming, it's non-habit forming. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
I always use something to shout about because it's so kind to my hands. It leaves my hands so soft. It leaves my hands so caressable.
But, Fräulein, I keep telling you, my name is Karl, not Hans.
Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims, and a cast of several, bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
Letters for you to sign, Mr. Lightfoot.
Mr. Lightfoot? Janet, you're very formal this morning. You only call me Mr. when J.S. is in the office. And then it's usually Mr. Lightfoot, darling.
Really? I simply wouldn't know.
Darling, why are you so angry? Is it because I said your beehive hairdo looked as though it was about to swarm?
I'm not in the least angry. It's just that deep, deep down, I'm terribly hurt.
Oh, you've upset the drawing pins on your chair again. Now, darling, tell Michael what it's all about.
Oh, I'm not your darling. I hate you. I loathe you. I despise you. I've a good mind to get off your knee.
Hello, what's going on? I say, Janet, you do look upset. What's wrong?
Oh, now, come on, darling. What gives?
Nothing if I keep my breath in.
Oh, come on.
My lips are sealed. Wild horses wouldn't drag it from me.
All right, I'm sorry I asked.
Oh, well, if you insist, I'll tell you. I think it's jolly heartless of you to go off to the Gritley Bay holiday camp next week and leave me here.
Well, darling, I've got to go. I've got to plan their new advertising campaign, a free holiday competition.
Well, you never think of me, left here friendless and alone over a hot typewriter.
Well, you'll hardly be alone. There's Maggie and Mavis and Adrian and Mrs. Allardyce in the canteen. I mean, she'll talk about her twinges to anyone.
Yeah, and then there's the liftman. He'll show you his tattoo and make it wiggle.
Well, I'm not interested in that picture of a butterfly on the lift man's arm. It's no substitute for Michael. If you want me, I shall be in the ladies' restroom. And kindly knock.
Goodbye, and don't forget to bring back the doorknob.
Now, Michael, old boy, perhaps I can have a word with you about this holiday camp newspaper competition.
Have you thought up a good slogan?
No, nothing's rung the bell yet. And you know what the trouble is, don't you?
Yes, no bell. We ought to put you up for the Nobel Prize.
No, the trouble is, I don't know enough about the camp. I think I ought to go up there with you.
Oh, well, if your presence is essential...
You mean I can come?
Yeah, but you're no substitute for Janet. I'll get her to book the tickets when she comes back.
Mavis, do hurry. You've been washing your hands for hours. Who do you think you are, Lady Macbeth?
Is she the one who's just had that divorce?
No, Mavis, don't you remember? Out, out, damned spot.
Oh, you mean the one in the Snow Queen soap commercial? I didn't know she was a lady.
Oh, hurry up, Mavis.
Oh, won't be a minute. I've just got to do the back of my neck. It's all mauve. Honestly, it's the last time I'll scratch my back with an illegible pencil.
Where you've been hiding us.
Hello, Maggie.
The only time you two are really busy is when you're in front of a mirror.
You ought to try it sometime, darling. Even at your age, something could be done.
Thank you, dear, but I'm quite happy as I am.
Oh, Maggie, you can't be. One mustn't give up hope so easily.
I say, has anyone got a comb? I left mine on the canteen table.
It's a small one on the ledge.
Oh, is that a comb? I thought it was one of your false eyelashes.
Do you know, honestly, my hair, there's no body to it.
It's usually attached to the end.
Half an hour under the dry yesterday morning, a thunderstorm lunchtime, and there's 12 and 6 of me bouffons straight down the drain.
No, actually, Janet, there's something I wanted to know. When you passed my office just now, you seemed to be upset.
Did it show on my face?
Well, reading between the lines, darling, yes.
I really was upset a bit, really. You see, Michael's going off to Gritley Bay Holiday Camp, and I've got to stay behind, really. Men have all the fun.
Yes, that's what my granny always says.
She must have a very good memory.
And he's going to have such a lovely time up there, 2 whole days away from the office.
Oh, yes, is he? You know, I've just remembered something. I think I'd better go and have a word with Michael. Excuse me.
Will you tell him I won't be long? I'm just fixing my face.
You'll find some putty in the cupboard.
No, 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 Maggie, no. Certainly not.
Michael, it's no use your being stubborn about it. I'm coming with you.
But, Maggie, what's your reason for coming, apart from having a holiday jaunt at the firm's expense?
If one needs a reason, then the advertising game isn't what it used to be. Michael, you need some photographs for the newspaper publicity for the competition.
They've already sent down some photographs. There's half a dozen on the desk.
Well, let's see. Oh, my goodness. Gritley Bay Holiday Camp in all its rain-sodden glory. Michael, these photographs are hopeless.
Why? They do the place justice.
It's not justice it wants, it's mercy. Michael, for an advertising man, you're so naive. This place needs faking up. I'll take some photographs that will make it look exotic.
But how can you make a heap of broken-down chalets on a mud bank look exotic?
I'll take up one of those portable plastic palm trees from the studio.
No, Maggie, I'm sorry. It would never work out. You'd better not come.
Look, I'll put the palm tree against one of the chalets, and basking underneath will be 2 gorgeous models in bikinis.
Eh?
Yes. I'll hire a couple of glamour pussies from the agency and take them up as well.
Nice to have you with us, Maggie. Adrian, fix the tickets.
Okay.
Ah, Janet, so you couldn't keep away, huh?
I've returned, and I brought Mavis along to give me moral support.
We all know what we need.
Hello, British Railways? Oh, look, there's a slight addition to our reservation. We want 5 reserved seats altogether. Names? Beals, Lightfoot, Miss Tufnell. The other two? Well, I don't know their names yet, but they'll be 2 glamorous models. What's that? Yes, we take great exception to the engine driver travelling in the same compartment. All right, goodbye.
Michael! Of all the nerve! So that's your rotten game. You're all sneaking off to Gritley Bay with 2 models. Well, I hope you have a very happy time if your conscience will let you.
It never stopped me before.
No, it's not Michael's fault. Maggie wants to take some pictures of some happy girls in bikinis full of joie de vivre.
Well, what's wrong with Mavis and me?
You're not full of joie de vivre.
Well, we could always take a bottle with us.
It never occurs to anyone that Mavis and I could do with a bit of fresh air.
On the contrary, it's as plain as a pikestaff. I doubt if you'd know what to do with it if you'd got it.
Hear, hear.
What?
Oh, Mr. Lightfoot, please let me come.
But Mavis, love, you don't know anything about modelling.
But it's in the blood. My granny was a model. You know that famous poster in the First World War? Lord Kitchener needs you.
Don't tell me she posed as Lord Kitchener.
No, she was the one he was pointing at.
Michael, for the last time, will you take us?
No.
Well, then come here. I want to whisper something. Come here.
Oh, all right.
If you take this with you.
Really?
Yes.
Can I have that in writing? Maggie, scrub around the models. We're taking the girls.
What on earth did she say to you?
Oh, I couldn't possibly repeat it to a lady.
The train now standing at platform 3. We'll call it Spalding, Louth and Grimsby. Passengers for Gridley Bay should change at Murrahmurrahmurrahmur. And again at Murrahmurrahmurrahmur. And should travel in the boot part of the train. The train now leaving platform 3. We'll call it...
Thank you.
Well, we all made it. And I must say, from the amount of luggage you girls have brought along, anyone would think we were going away for a month.
I say, Adrian, are you sure that palm tree's all right in the luggage rack?
Yes, thank you, Maggie. We're both very comfortable up here.
Oh, I do hope I brought everything. Tennis racket, hot water bottle, seasick pills, inflatable beach ball. I say, Mavis, what's that thing sticking out of your bucket bag?
Oh, that's my grand's ear trumpet.
She's not coming too, is she?
No, dear, I borrowed it. I thought if we went skin diving, we could use it as a snorkel.
Oh, crikey, what a dump.
Fancy putting a holiday camp here. Look, there's a fish cannery on one side and the gas works on the other.
Never mind, you can always tell which way the wind's blowing.
Well, all those squalid old huts reminds me of when I appeared in Tobacco Road.
Yes, and got saved in the nicotine.
Ooh, come on, hurry up, you lot. Let's get into the office and out of the wind.
Oh, it can't be too soon for me. The wind's ruined my hair. It's blown my bang into a bun.
Oh, there's the office. Now, come on now. One last spurt and we're there. Well, here we are.
Come in. Come on in. Welcome to the Gritley Bay Holiday Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Blaine.
Thank you, Mr. Blaine.
Well, Mr. Lightfoot, your luck's in. You've chosen a lovely day for your visit. You know, sometimes it gets a little windy round these parts.
Really? I'd never have believed it.
Quite a crowd you brought with you.
Oh, but I haven't introduced you yet. Mr. Plankton, this is our Miss Tufnell. She's in charge of TV, films and advertising photographs. Been with the firm 15 years.
I started as soon as I left school.
Darling. Darling, you didn't leave. You're retired.
And this is Miss Janet Harris, my personal secretary. Does a little modelling on the side.
Really? Keeps you on the go, eh, Miss Harris?
You don't know the half of it.
And this is Mavis Willis. I'm using her in the photographs as well.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you.
Pardon my glove, and the same to you.
And this is Adrian Beals, our senior copywriter.
How do you do?
Hello. So you're the chap who's responsible for all them slogans.
Yes, he's got a great advertising brain.
Yes, he's the one who suggested bringing out a new cigarette with a filter in the middle so you could never light the wrong end by mistake.
Well, I hope you can do something great for me. Now, what do you think of my holiday camp?
Charming, really charming. Such a friendly atmosphere. And what a novel idea to have bars on all the windows.
Aye, they're left over from when it was a prison camp during the war. Mind you, they had to close it down. Too many escapes.
Yes, those Jerrys were pretty good at escaping.
Oh, it weren't the Jerrys who escaped, it was the guards. The place was a bit grim. It's not the same now, not the same at all. No. Now, come over to the window and I'll point out the more attractive features of the place. Breathtaking, isn't it?
Is that an open-air barbecue?
No, kitchen. Wind blew the roof off yesterday. But you see, we cater for all sports here. There's a golf course, tennis courts, and there's riding.
You provide the horses?
No, free bicycle clips. And then once a month, we have the inter-chalet drafts contest.
I suppose the chalet with the most drafts wins the prize. Yes, well, I think we've seen enough, Mr. Plankton. We'll start work in the morning.
Well, there's dinner laid on for you in the dining hall. I've got a couple of semi-detached chalets for you to sleep in. Lads in 37, lasses next door.
Lads? Lassie?
That's right. In holiday camps, everyone's a lad or a lassie.
Well, I don't think I like that. I mean, am I a lassie?
Well, you're not a lad, are you?
I don't fancy being a lassie in a chilly chalet.
Don't worry, darling. I'll be sleeping right next door.
Well, don't. I beg of you, start shouting, "Lassie, come home."
Well, you'd think he'd have fixed us up with a better chalet.
Oh, I'll be glad to get into bed. Now, let's see. Shaving gear, toothbrush.
Do you know what my little girl Catherine did the other day? She was in the garden eating a worm.
Please, Adrian. Adrian, not while I'm cleaning my teeth.
And I said, you mustn't do that, Catherine. It's very naughty. And she said, it's all right, Daddy. I've given half to the baby. You know, she's so unselfish.
Doesn't say much for your wife's cooking. I wonder how the girls are getting on next door.
Well, I'll give a bash on the wall.
Oh, mercy, whatever's that?
Yoo-hoo, girls, how are you getting on?
Yoo-hoo!
It's Michael. Darling, what are you doing?
I'm cleaning my teeth.
Well, that's a coincidence. I'm cleaning mine.
Yes, I can hear you.
And I can hear you. Oh, darling, isn't it sweet? Your little wash basin backed onto my little wash basin. We're brought together by Mr. Plankton's plumbing.
Do you mind if I cut in and clean my teeth as well?
Well, honestly, there's no privacy in this place.
You know, the one thing I like about ringing advertising is always free samples. They do come in handy.
Free samples of what, darling? Toothpaste or teeth?
I say, has anybody got a safety pin?
I'll just look in my bag. No, I can't seem to find one. Oh, wait a minute.
Well, it doesn't matter now. I've tied a knot.
Oh, bother, I can't find my tissues. Now, how can I take off my makeup?
Look in the drawer. You might find a blow lamp and a scraper.
I say, has anyone got a drawing pin?
Good gracious, what's come apart now?
Oh, nothing. I want to put up my picture of Adam Faith.
But put him over that knot hole. It'll stop the draft.
I better put him facing the wall while we're undressing.
Mavis, I hope you don't talk in your sleep.
Well, I don't know. I've never listened.
Good night.
Good night. Now I can turn Adam round the right way.
Photograph of you happy holidaymakers having breakfast on the terrace in the open air.
But it's ridiculous in this wind. It's blowing the food away.
Don't worry. I'll soon fix that.
What are you doing?
Just nailing the toast to the table. Now then, have you all got what you fancy?
Yes. Oh, yes, I always breakfast on haddock. My mum says that fish is good for the brain.
There goes another fallacy.
What about you, Miss Harris?
All I want is black coffee and a lightly boiled aspirin.
Positions, please. Now, for goodness sake, everybody, look as though you're enjoying yourselves. You're happy laughing holidaymakers having a happy laughing breakfast. Now, look, is everybody set?
Oh, my headache's taken flight.
Now, look, I've got you all in focus. Get in a bit closer together.
Yeah, just a minute. Anyone got a pair of pinchers? I want on a piece of toast.
Cheese, everybody. Right, that's it. Now you can all relax.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, Maggie. Don't you think you ought to take another one for luck?
No time. I think we're in for rain in a minute. I think I heard thunder.
That was Adrian eating his toast.
I say, which way did my headache go? Did anyone see?
Now, in the next picture, I'll have Michael on the golf course. By the way, Mr. Plankton, where exactly is the golf course?
See those two sheep grazing over there? Well, the one on the left is on the golf course.
Doesn't look very big. How many holes are there?
Well, there's only one at the moment. But we're hoping to expand it when we get another bit of turf.
Come on, everybody, to the golf course.
Yes, let's. If we hurry, we might find my headache.
Mr. Plankton. On a golf course of this size, surely you know where the hole is.
Well, I don't understand it. I was here yesterday. Perhaps that sheep's sitting on it.
Well, it's customary to have a flag in it.
Well, there was one yesterday. I think it must have blown away.
Well, perhaps it took the hole with it.
Michael, give me a hand with this palm tree. Oh, help. Oh, Maggie, I'm afraid I've lost another leaf.
Oh, really? It's like autumn in the Garden of Eden.
Janet, Mavis, after that leaf of Adrian's, otherwise that sheep will eat it.
Well, if it eats plastic palm leaves, it'll start growing nylon wool.
Michael, we can't wait any longer. The camera's all set up. Adrian won't have any leaves at all soon. You'll have to manage without a hole.
But this is ridiculous. You can't play golf without a hole.
Of course you can. Just makes it a bit harder, that's all.
Please, can we have our leaf back?
Oh, do we care for Mavis? It might be a small bull in an astrakhan coat.
Now, Michael, bully off, or whatever you call it. I want a nice action shot.
Right, don't worry. When it comes to golf, I can show you all a thing or two. I'll give you a power drive right down the middle of the fairway. Now, you ready, Maggie?
Okay.
Right, well, here goes. Now, where's that little old ball?
Still on that little old tee.
Well, the wind must have blown it back.
Try it again, Michael, and hurry before that wretched sheet comes into focus.
Okay.
Please, can we have our ball back?
I say, where's the ball?
In that flipping sheep.
Well, you'll never hit it out of there.
Well, Mr. Plankton, it's been a most enjoyable visit, and I'm sure we all feel better for it.
Badders.
Have a tissue, Mavis.
No, thanks, I've just had one.
Now, here's the rough layout of the full-page advert to go in the national press.
Good.
Gritley Bay Holiday Camp, grand competition. First prize, 2 weeks free holiday at Great Gritley Bay. Second prize, half a guinea.
I'm sure thousands of people will want to enter.
Chance of a free holiday here is the sort of thing that happens only once in a lifetime.
I sincerely hope so. And across the middle page we'll have the photographs.
Hey, hope the one of the young ladies in the pool comes out well.
It's a pity the lifeguard was off duty. We could have had one of him showing Janet his muscles.
Yes, or the other way around. And at the bottom of the page, there's the details of the competition. Send a letter with the story of your most amusing holiday experience, closing date, winner to be announced at the Great Reunion Ball, etc., etc.
Oh, it'll be a grand night.
Plenty of publicity.
Yes, with a bit of luck, we might get it broadcast.
Good.
Well, we must catch our train. Girls, have you got everything?
Now, let's see now. My bikini, picture of Adam Faith wrapped up in my grand's ear trumpet.
Oh, now, come on, everyone. It will be cut off by the tide. I've just seen a rowing boat pass the window.
That'll be the taxi. Come to take us to the station. Goodbye, Mr. Plankton.
Bye.
Good evening, listeners. This outside broadcast's coming to you from the Copacabana Ballroom, Walthamstow. And tonight the place is packed with several people attending the grand reunion dance of the Gritley Bay Holiday Camp. The applause you've just heard was for the Cabaret, an exhibition of folk dancing. And if you'd seen it, I'm sure you'd agree that the Cleethorpes damson-treading dance is wildly exciting, especially if you like seeing people with mauve feet. And now the stage slowly empties as the Cleethorpes dance group shuffle their way to the wings, pausing only to remove the damson stones from between their toes. In a few seconds' time, we hope to be able to... Yes, yes, here it is, the high spot of the evening. Here comes Mr. Plankton to read you the winning entry in the free holiday competition.
Thank you. I've a great pleasure to be here to read you the winning entry in the free holiday competition. My most amusing holiday experience. A most amusing thing happened to me and my mate one day last year, when me and my mate were both on holiday, one day last summer, last year, at the same time, together, both of us in the same place, together. Well, we was walking along the prom when this old gentleman raises his hat and... whoops. And underneath was a seagull's nest with three eggs in it, and I said to my mate, that was an amusing holiday experience, and he agreed, the end.
Mr. Plankton, I think you've turned over two pages.
Never mind.
And now Mr. Lightfoot will open the sealed envelope and announce the name of the unknown writer of that entry.
And the name of the lucky man to receive a fortnight's free holiday is Mr. Alfred Climping.
Thank you. And what is the winner's address?
Mr. Alfred Climping, care of HM Prison Wormwood Scrubs.
Well, I didn't want to go in the first place. It was all your idea, Michael.
Well, really?
My gran's terribly upset. Every time she uses her ear trumpet, she says she can hear the sea.
Where does she live?
Clacton.
Well, I don't care what anyone says, Janet. We've certainly made Gritley Bay the most talked about holiday camp in England.
I agree with you, darling. I shall be dining out on that holiday contest story for the rest of the year.
Michael, I've just had a very stormy session with J.S. He thinks we ought to run that contest again, as Mr. Climping isn't exactly able to take advantage of the prize.
Well, I've got news for both of you. I've fixed it. I've been on to the prison governor. Climping was nearing the end of his sentence, so they've let him out on parole.
What?
He left for Gritley Bay last night.
My darling, so clever.
Hello? Yes, Lightfoot here. Oh, hello, Mr. Plankton. He has? Oh, fine, that's splendid. What? Oh, I see. He said what? Well, really, there's no need to be insulting. Hello? Hello? He's hung up. Well, that's torn it.
Well, what's the matter? What happened?
Mr. Climping arrived at the camp this morning.
Well, that's marvellous.
No, it's not. He left this afternoon.
He's broken his parole.
Perhaps he slipped on my headache.
Not at all. You're all wrong. He had a quick look round, decided prison life was more comfortable, and he's catching the next Black Maria back to London.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, and Mr. Plankton by Warren Mitchell. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written in a series of unfinished sentences by Miles Rudge, aided and abetted by Ronnie Wolfe, who's nearly finished his sentence, and hopes to be free for panto. The program was recorded by the official recorder and produced by John Alibi Simmons, who says he was somewhere else where it happened, which seems the most charitable explanation. Next week, we shall be running a competition of our own. Listeners will be invited to guess where they were on the night of August the 7th. Mr. Justice Jeffries will be here to tell us who did it. And the judge's decision, I'm afraid, is final. Now you may all stand down.